Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight at LA Talk Radio. I'm going to remind you all of the call-in number, but then I'm going to tell you a surprise. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. But right now, we have a very special guest that's coming on to talk with Dr. Pat Allen. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. Are you ready for our guest?
I'm ready.
You were born ready. Speaking of that, we are just a few days away from your birthday and mine.
Good. We are Libra. Let's see. Yeah. Virgo, Libra. I'm a cusp. I don't think you're a cusp.
I'm right on the cusp as well. Here we go. Hey, is this Patricia Altenge?
Yes, it is. I'm here for you both.
Hi, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you again, Pat.
Yes, yes. We have you on because dreams are a real way to learn about who you were, who you are, and who you want to be.
And
right?
Where you're going, and where you're going, and where
well,
you want to go.
Well, that's where you want to be, yeah. Anyway, you've been with me. You studied in my school, the One Institute. When mm-hmm. was that you first came into my world?
I think it's got to be maybe close to 28 years ago, Pat.
Is that
We've been
not
in each other's
amazing?
Lives a long time.
And
it's
for
amazing.
What reason did you specialize? I teach dream analysis, dream learning. And for what reason did that part of my training touch your brain, your heart, and your life?
Okay. Yes. Well, it was you who pushed me into it. Thank you very much. I was a reluctant, gifted person, as you called me. But yes, I suffered from nightmares, as we called them then, as a child, due to a traumatic experience of being kidnapped as a kid and molested. So as my adult years grew, I was a seeker and sought my health and wellness. And through the dream work, I became in touch with my gift. And my gift is just that, being able to help other people reflect to them their own subconscious mind through their dream world. But it was you who recognized that in me. I did not go search that myself. So thank you for your encouragement or even your recognition that I had this gift.
Yes, you do.
And the training. And the training.
I fully understand that. And you have written a book.
That's right. The Dream Class. The Dream Class. Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And
wow. This
book is everything really what you and I have been working on to hone this style of dream reading over these many years. And there's no other book that does it in this way. And it's so comprehensive and so true to your teachings of the masculine and the feminine and how we relate to the world, the outside world, is through our dream world deciphered.
But there are people that say they don't dream at all. What do you do?
That's right. I tell them everyone dreams, even your dog dreams, and every animal dreams. All creatures dream. And it's a necessary component of the brain healing itself. So when people are deprived of sleep and of the dream state, which often drugs and meds and other substances prevent you from reaching your dream state, which is necessary. That's a way our brain categorizes and condenses and collects and stores memory. So it's a necessary component of our brain health besides our psychological health.
Which has impact on your physical health.
And which has impact on your life and your relationships and everything you do.
Right. What have I taught you that you teach and use as you help people by helping them with their dreams that I believe is unique and you act as if it's unique and good? What's my major gift? What's your major gift?
Which is recognizing the masculine and feminine energies in everything and in everything we do, our behaviors, and to do with our feelings and our productivity. And this is recognized in my book when I talk about the different symbols. So we talk about the symbols, and especially your work talked about the hierarchy of people, nature, and things, how our dreams come through, bubble up through the subconscious to the conscious mind in terms, in hierarchies of people, nature, and things. So when we're dreaming of things, it's a little bit further away from coming to consciousness, but it's starting to bubble through. Things are like a table, a car, a chair, your keys. Those are things. Then nature. Nature is landscape, trees, lakes, oceans, deserts. That's nature. Animals. Animals are nature. Then we go up to people. Then it's really bubbling through to consciousness, and you're really starting to get the impact of the message. And people, then it comes in terms of males and females in people. And even animals and things have masculine and feminine energies too. So all this comes down to how much you're ready to receive the message from your own subconscious mind.
Now, you mentioned masculine and feminine, but I've taught you that masculine is yang energy, do good, and yin is female energy. So what's the difference between a man and a woman physically and dream world-wise?
Yes. Well, if there's a paradox, and our friend Carl Jung came up with this masculine and feminine energies and the yin and the yang, which is the anima, the yin, the feminine, and the animus, the masculine, the yang. And when we are dealing with our different energies, a male person, he has a feminine soul. So in our dream world, when we dream of a man, we are actually dreaming of our feelings. This is the paradox. And we're dreaming of a woman. We are dreaming of our productivity and our thinking and our masculine side of us. So this is the paradox in our dream life.
Does everything in your dream really carry a message?
Everything. So this is why, back to, and here's my first takeaway for tonight, is keep a pad by the bed, because every little nuance in the dream has a message. The symbols, so you keep a pad by the bed. This is in chapter 7 of the dream class. To keep a pad by the bed with a pen and keep your eyes closed for that first 3 to 4 minute period that we call the Lyman state. And that's when you can capture your dream. And the people who say they don't dream or they can't remember their dreams, this is the technique. There's a technique. It's a practice like learning yoga, like learning to play a musical instrument. You practice at it and it comes. Believe it or not, some people who first came to me said they never dreamt. And now they come to me with these full-blown scenarios and that their life is unfolding. And they can start to really connect the dots between what's coming through the subconscious to their conscious mind and connect the dots to their waking life and make choices and decisions based on what's coming through. It's miraculous.
So how can people get to you? They can get to your book in a bookstore.
Yes, Amazon has the book, The Dream Class by Patricia L. Tinge. And my website is Patricia, P-A-T-R-I-C-I-A, at thedreamclass.com. And I take appointments. And by the way, anyone who contacts me and wants a first session, a complimentary session, and mentions this show, contact Patricia at thedreamclass.com. And I welcome all of Pat's listeners to visit me.
Good. So what basically is a nightmare?
I'm so glad you asked, because you and I don't believe in nightmares. What they are is just scary images that are trying to come through to bring us a message that is so important. We must take good care in paying attention to it. If it's a nightmare, it's really trying to hit you over the head and say, pay attention to me. I'm trying to tell you something that you need to know.
That is so good.
And it's not what it seems. And it's not what it seems. Because everything in our dreams is trying to come through as an aspect. It's an aspect of our self. So our self has all these different aspects
that
we can break down.
An evil dream that wishes you harm.
I quote you in my book, all dreams wish us well. And
that
I thank you for that. And thank you for writing the foreword in my book, Pat. I so appreciate the lovely foreword you wrote in my book.
And I love the fact that you believed in my unique idea of yin and yang and men and women and all that. I really
it's been
am
so
proud
evident.
Of you.
Thank
Pardon?
You. I thank you. And it's just been so evident in the years I've been practicing that it never fails. It
Good.
Never fails. It's so
I
accurate.
It too. And I appreciate you carrying the message. So
I will carry the message, and I did promise you that I would.
Good. And I thank you in public, and I wish you well. So we'll talk to you again next month.
Okay. I'm not far
thank
away.
You for your show.
Thank you,
okay.
Kelly. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. That was the lovely Patricia L. Tinge, her book, The Dream Class. You can find it on Amazon, and you can reach out to Patricia at patricia@thedreamclass.com. Via email, she very graciously said she will talk to any of Pat's people if they mention the show. Okay, well, let's see what we've got going on here. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello, Dr.
Hello,
Pat.
Hello.
How are you? Can you
hello?
Hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Is this Sir Brian?
It is Dr. Pat.
Okay. So what can I do for you tonight?
Well, I am, I think I'm progressing with the long distance lady that I've told you about before.
Are you really? And what are the signs of progress?
Well, we're negotiating for her to come down here for a visit soon, since I've been up there a couple of times, and also talking about, you know, some of the things that we like and have concerns about each other, although my preference is to talk about the big ones in person. You know, through text, I think, is not great, and even on the phone, I don't think is as effective. So I'm okay waiting and deciding, even though we both haven't gone as quickly probably as each one of us would like. But, you know, because of the distance, time together has been limited.
I understand. Does it contain chemistry?
Yes, when we're together and even when we're apart, yeah. Chemistry is not a problem. Compatibility, not sure about that one. And communication, there's definitely some, and we'll see how it goes on the big stuff.
Do you have any question that you want answered tonight?
I was thinking. I don't know. So, well, yeah. How about if you could remind me of the big things to negotiate in a relationship, you know, once you get together, because, or, you know, decide whether you're
going to. I will do it. And
thank
for
you.
Those of you that don't know me or my work, you can read it from 50 years ago when I wrote the book, Getting to I Do. And in that book, in chapter 14, the title is Making a Deal. And for me, before you become intimate, intercourse, making love intimate, not just holding hands, but intimacy. Before that, I really teach in chapter 14 that you must negotiate time. I time, that's when you're apart. How much time do you want? How much do you not want? Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Men get what they want when they have the chutzpah to go for it. So time is I time, we time. That's the two of you together with nobody else. You may be in a theater, but you're not with those people. It's not a family dinner. So we time, and then you alone, then us time. How much socializing? How many times a month do you want to have a dinner party or a barbecue? So that's time. Then the second one I have is space. I don't believe in having people live together and playing house and marriage until they're at least engaged. Unless they want to mate, but they don't want to marry. I consider mating and marriage the same contract. Monogamy sexually, continuity in contact, and goals that are similar. You're both aiming towards marriage, or you're not. So time, space, and then the big, big dopamine producer, money. How is this relationship going to be paid for while you're dating, while you're mating, while you're marrying? Are you career people or people with careers? I generally like to have one of each. Do you, Brian, want to be respected or cherished first?
Respected.
Okay. Does your woman, you believe, want to be cherished?
I know that she does because she has told me that she likes the way that I cherish her. So she's communicated that it's meaningful.
Very good. So cherishing and respect are part of it. And then is it a relationship in which you both contribute chores and money? Or one of you contributes money and the other one contributes housekeeping or, you know, relating to food, dating. And then... You have... When you go to her, does she cook for you? Do you like that?
The last time the first time I took her out to dinner, and then the second time she put together some food and we were mostly at her place.
Okay. So these are the things: time, space, money, and play. Play comes in two categories: non-sexual, that could be hobbies like golf, tennis, swimming, fishing. They're sexual in that everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear has a quality of sexual compatibility, chemistry. But then the other capacity in playing is sexual. Are you monogamous or do you want an open relationship? So the four categories to negotiate before you have intercourse, because you want to know if they're monogamous, continuous, and long-term, or monogamous, continuous, and never marry, what the basics for it is. So negotiating time, space, money, and play before you have consummated, had your wedding night, you see? And then for sure do it before you legally marry, maybe a prenup, postnup. But the deal is to make a deal, to know the boundaries of your particular desire of relationship. So have you started any of that, Brian?
Well, we definitely talked about the time with the goal of seeing each other once a month, whether she comes here or I come up there. To space, we have talked about, I know that because of her work, she's not as available during the week, but usually on the weekends, we definitely have more contact from a distance. Money, I think there's still more to talk about in that department. And we've definitely talked about a lot of things that we want to do together. We haven't spent as much time with the ability to do those things, but we match up with some. And then I think we definitely have, interests that are divergent. But I think it could be helpful to, have interests that don't involve the other person. What do you think about that stuff?
That's I time. Everyone, I don't want to live together until we're engaged. By the way, are you interested in possibly marrying?
Possibly, but I would certainly be fine with
mating. Is mating. Okay.
Mating is certainly okay, and I think she said some things. To that effect. We talked about it a while ago. I'm not exactly sure. I think she did say at one point she wasn't interested in getting married again, but we'll see.
Okay. So with those in mind, you negotiate boundaries so that you don't have to crash into a wall. You just deal with it like it's part of building your relationship. The foundation of every relationship is friendship, which is basically accepting each other, even if you're not perfect, and negotiating boundaries that would cause trouble. So You sound like you are definitely building something. You're dating her how long, though?
I mean, I met her, I think, over 4 months ago. But in that time, we've only seen each other twice. But we are in contact at least a little every day.
That's great. That's what continuity is. How often do I see or hear from you? Do you call her on the phone? Men tend to like texting better than talking, and women tend to like talking better than texting, because talking is word-oriented and more intellectual, whereas talking is more feeling-centered. And so it goes along with maleness and femaleness.
She could sometimes be reluctant to talk on the phone, and she told me that's a pattern that, you know, goes before she met me. But we did have a nice phone call yesterday, and she does get very busy with her work, so I understand that. So we definitely text more, and I have made, I would say, the boundary that on the big stuff, I don't want to be texting about that, whether that's, you know, negotiating things in the relationship, or, you know, this or that is a deal breaker. I don't think that that's good for texting. But on more of the light stuff, I said, okay, that's certainly fine. And I had to explain some stuff to her when she thought I was texting about the heavy stuff, but I did clear up a misconception about that. Again, I want to talk about the big things in person, you know, maybe on the phone or Zoom, but I prefer not to even do it that way.
Okay. I believe that you don't know people until you've been in their space for a year. So you've been together dating for 4 months, right?
Certainly in contact, and I think I saw her, for the first time in July, I believe.
So the first 3 months of knowing each other are as perfect as you can make them, because everybody's working at it. The second 3 months is when you start bumping into things that need to be negotiated. The third 3 months is when you decide if you're 51% valuable and to each other. If you care about each other 51% of the time and you have chemistry, you can do a long-term relationship. If you don't have 51% compatibility, and whatever is not compatible is significant, like alcoholism or unfaithfulness, those don't allow for the factor of commitment to really hold. So the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to negotiate, make, and keep. The fourth 3 months are generally when you are in a pattern that's working most of the time, not perfectly. I haven't heard many people being perfect, but you have a relationship that is buildable and you're doing fine. You're in your second 3 months and you're dealing with issues in a great way. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm certainly going after that, and keeping my eyes open and hopefully getting more of an idea of who she is. I mean, it is difficult from a distance, but I know we definitely have chemistry, and I know she has a lot of great qualities, and she certainly relates. She definitely.
I want to tell you something. The danger of retirement is too much togetherness. You've got to be an I to to be a we, to be an us. So you're talking about not being able to be together, and I'm throwing in something that too much togetherness can wear out your chemistry so that you get bored. So remember, I, we, and us. In my latest book, Man's World, a Woman's Universe, I have a chapter for I-ness, a chapter for we-ness, and a chapter for us-ness. That means maybe kids, maybe relatives. So just remember, and don't forget, I have a book called Staying Married and Loving It, which I wrote after getting to I Do, if you're interested in me in print. Okay?
Yes. So thank you. Yeah,
I think
in the second 3 months, we probably have been getting into some bumping and haven't had as much time to negotiate, where in the beginning she definitely had more free time and it was more fun. But it's definitely fun when we're together, and I expect that. The next.
And thank you for calling, and hope to call again me.
I certainly will. I'd forgotten the last couple of weeks, but I was on top of it this time. Thank you again, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Have a great night. Okay. I believe Sam has got some more callers for us, and I'm sure is getting us one right now, which is great. The call-in number, 323-203-0815. So you can hop into the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen. So much fun. And we had our guest tonight, Patricia Altange.
Hello.
Oh, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Allen. Hi, Kelly. I had a high bi-letter session with you on Friday, and I got a response, and I kind of wanted you to just decipher it for me and read between the lines.
Good. No, I'm fine.
Okay. So it says, thank you for taking the time and emotional energy to reduce to writing so many of your thoughts and feelings. It was nice to read and made me feel happy. I am particularly happy to hear you have been doing some work, healing, feeling lighter and awakened. I am very sorry for the pain I caused you and that we were never able to keep things on track for any length of time because of the trauma. I am committed to moving on and continuing the work I need to do to be better and be happy. I'm not there yet. I wish you nothing but love and happiness. I know you will find both. You are an amazing person. And then he signed it with affection and warmth.
That sounds wonderful. He really was really impressed with your letter. For those of you that are listening, a high bi letter is a letter in which you're summarizing your relationship positively and negatively for the purposes of getting to know each other or solving a problem in your relationship. So do you believe that the letter he wrote you back said that he was still interested in dating you?
I don't know, because he said, I am committed to moving on and continuing the work I need to do to be better and be happy.
Okay, so you hear him saying he's not committed to monogamy, continuity, or long-term building.
I think so.
Okay. Are you going to honor that choice that he's made? Are you going to beg him? Are you going to tell him off?
I wrote him back and I just said, thank you for your gentlemanly reply. And I said, I'm glad we can both look on each other with goodwill. And I said, I appreciate him apologizing. And then I ended it with, thank you for the lessons to learn and grow from, so I don't make the same mistakes with another man. Sending you lots of love and success. I believe in you so much. And I ended it.
That is absolutely lovely and says well things about you. So are you going out to replace him? Are you starting to flirt?
Not yet.
Are you grieving?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I felt like confused from his letter back because it was so warm and loving, but then, you know, he said that line about committed to moving on. So,
but that means that he's a gentleman.
Right.
There's three ways to communicate. I'm a transactional analyst. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Be aware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being well, and in every relationship that is based on love, whether it's family or friends, neighbors, whoever it is. And so he was being a gentleman when he said, no, I'm not interested in building a life relationship with you. Because many people do one of the things, the three things, there's intimidate with fear. The second one is seducing with guilt and shame. How could you say that to me? And the third one is the one I teach, which is negotiating with love. We're both okay even when we don't make a deal. And yeah. It sounds like your high buy letter, I approved of. Is that correct?
You did.
And I want to just say what it is right now, just for the sake of those that are listening. A high buy letter is when you've broken up or he's left or you've left or you've made a mistake and you want to make an amends. The first paragraph is everything you did like about him when you met him and when you dated him. The second paragraph is what pain caused and is in the relationship that did not allow it to go forward for either both of you or one of you. The third paragraph is what you don't want in a relationship that was going on in this one. And the fourth paragraph is what you do want in a relationship. Whether you get it or not is up to them. And the fifth paragraph is thank you for your letter, your notice, your information. You did it, he did it. So you were a lady and a gentleman painfully divorcing a relationship.
Does he still have 8 weeks from my response to him?
Yes, he does. Just as you had to send a high bye letter to him, he now gets to decide if he's made a mistake saying no. And rumination is think feel. Human beings very often make decisions that they very often find out are mistakes. And I have found in my 50 years being a therapist that within 8 weeks or before, you'll hear from them about their mistake in saying goodbye. And heavens, I hope that you're as ladylike as when he made his mistake so that you can build another relationship or not, but you can be friendly.
Right.
So everything is in place. You wrote your hi-bye letter. He wrote a nice letter back saying, no, thank you. Now we've got to see what he does with that decision.
Okay.
But you have offered the deal that you want, and he has turned it down.
Yeah, he said he's not happy, that he's not there yet as far as being happy.
Well, maybe he wants to be feminine and mothered. Do you think that could be true?
Well, he is in pre-andropause, so.
What? What's that?
He's pre-andropause. Is that how you say it? He's over 50.
Oh, he's getting into his estrogen-based life. And I want to mention a book that I refer to, which is an old book, but it's an interesting one. And it says, basically, the 40 to 60-year-old man. Because at that time, he's going off testosterone, which is, I want this and I want that. And he's basically going into, I miss the love you gave me. Men in 40 to 60 start needing. Here's what it says in the book. The 40 to 60-year-old male, a guide for men and the women in their lives to see them through the crises of the male middle years, by Michael E. McGill, PhD. You are how old?
30.
You're 30. You're gushing estrogen. But he's starting to do it too. So now we can... What happens? What's the biggest year for divorce? 50s. Why?
Mm.
Because you are going down on estrogen and up on progesterone, and he's going down on testosterone, and the estrogen in his system is starting to impact him. I like to say, grandma's tougher than mom. And grandpa's nicer than dad. Could that be true?
Yes, it is true.
But if they know this piece of information, they grow old together, melding together. You see? So he's got 8 weeks of rumination to decide if he really is glad he's not with you. Okay?
Okay. I have one more question. So we started fighting a lot at the end, and I was reacting disrespectfully to mistakes he had made. And
I know.
And so then we did the 8 weeks. I sent a hi-bye letter. And he was really affectionate and warm back, but he, like you said, nicely said, no, he's not coming back right now. Does that mean that he has fallen out of love?
That means he's not happy. Did he say he's not happy now?
Yes, he said... His exact wording was, I am committed to moving on and continuing the work I need to do to be better and be happy. I'm not there yet.
That told you he's doing andropause. Women do menopause. Men do andropause. Everybody gets to be male and female at different times. Men that are going into 50s, they are going into their sensitive aspect. Men need more cherishing when they're 50 and 60 years old. Women need more respect when they're 40, 50, 60 years old. Who's driving the car when they're 60? She is.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So everything I teach is based on some science that I've studied. And I use it to help people negotiate.
So what would his not being happy, why would that keep him away?
Because you hurt his feelings doing and saying something he didn't like.
Okay.
Do you remember what it was?
It was a lot, yes.
That was you going into your masculine self to punish him for something significant. I teach what I do in my books, the last one I wrote, it's a man's rules in it. And getting to I do, I'm just sharing with you that you can get my stuff by reading my books.
Definitely.
Okay. So yes, you did something that didn't make him happy and you didn't use the tools apparently, but you did now.
Right.
And so now we're going to see if he'll remember the times you were nice to him and not painful.
Okay.
But that's up to God and reality.
Okay, so he's got 8 weeks now after
he's got 8 weeks from the date of that letter being written to you.
Did you still sense love between us?
Or totally. From him to me? Oh, my God.
Okay, great.
You said it clearly. No, you're in the doghouse. But you're not in the mortuary yet. because you wrote the hi-bye letter as directed by me, and he wrote it. Have I ever seen him?
You've had a call with us one time, yeah.
Okay, so he knows my work a little.
Not really. That one call was his first experience.
No, that doesn't do it. The point is,
yes.
He responded to your ladylike behavior. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Do you see? I have no problem with you using my tools to tell him when he hurts your feelings, but when you use intimidation, guilt, or shame, they're going to pay you back.
Don't I know it? My goodness, don't I know it now?
You know what? But as you said in your letter, I won't do that again.
Right.
Okay? So say a prayer. Hope he comes back. If he doesn't, replace him.
Okay. And him dating other women right now is just him trying to distract?
No, it's him trying to see if there's something better than you.
Okay.
And guess what? Many, many times there aren't. He can make mistakes just the way you did.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
So use your tools when you're mad at your man.
I've learned that lesson.
Good. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Allen.
Good luck, caller. Make sure you keep us updated.
I will, for sure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. That call-in number is 323-203-0815. And we are going to have another call connected here in just a minute. Until then, I want to remind everybody, info@drpatallen.com is how you reach out to get on our waiting list to join one of our groups, either the Elite or the Five Ladies.
Hello?
Caller, you are live on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do, actually.
What is it?
Hi, Dr. Pat. I was in one of your seminars a few months ago, and I'm just calling in regards to a question that I have about this guy that I've been talking to. And I'm just wondering if I can ask you my question.
Absolutely.
Perfect. So there's this guy that I matched with on Hinge. And then, honestly, I feel like we have chemistry because we, like, the way that we talk, like, I feel like we just connect really, really well. And I definitely feel like there's chemistry between us. But then he's disappeared on me randomly on three different occasions where we're texting, everything is going well.
Wait a minute. Are you in a committed relationship with him? Are you his girlfriend?
No, I'm not.
Have you had intercourse with him?
No, I haven't. I haven't even met him yet in person.
Oh, you haven't physically met him?
No, I haven't.
So you may have been his duty date.
Yes. I forgot to mention, but we've been duty dating. I have been duty dating.
That means you're dating him plus a couple of others.
Yes. Well, I mean, now I'm only dating him. I mean, I haven't really seen him in person yet, but I've been talking to him.
But you've been talking to him. But you and he have been verbally dating, but not committed.
Yes, we've been texting.
So you miss him.
Yes. I mean, he didn't get back to me, but like, I just find it weird how he disappears and he comes back. And in one of your lessons, I've learned that I shouldn't like chase after a guy because that's just going to make him want to pull away. And so I haven't gone back to him at all on the three different occasions that he's been disappearing, and he tends to come back. And then he came back
Wait
again
a minute.
This morning and he said,
does he disappear? Does he call you?
He doesn't call me. He just texts me. There's no calling.
Well,
it's just
texting. I'm saying call, but I mean contact. Does he contact you or do you contact him? Who's chasing who?
He contacts me.
Okay. Have you ever not responded to his contact?
I have, yes. I have responded every time he's contacted me.
Very good. So he obviously is dating other people along with you.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What's wrong with that?
The thing I was wondering is that it's been a month now since we've been talking now, and we haven't seen each other in person. So I was just a little confused because like he also asked me out 2 weeks ago, and then I said that I was open to it, but then he just told me that he needs to see how his schedule is like for the week after.
You to understand, he wants you to respect him designing the relationship. You're being tested for submissiveness. Do you want to be respected, cherished, or cherished, respected?
I want to be cherished.
If you want to be cherished, you will not chase him. You will date at least two other men. He can be number one, but I want number two and number three. Are you dating other people to distract you from your longing for him?
Yeah, I mean, I was, but like now I'm trying to talk to other guys too so I can distract myself from him.
That's good. Then please continue to do that for 8 weeks. Every man has 8 weeks to miss you enough to call you, especially if they've gotten free sex from other women. Free sex, not make love. Free sex. I try to help women know that men can't fall in love when they are given free wives, free girlfriends, free mothers.
Mm-hmm.
So you are missing him because I want to ask you a question. If your father walked in the room, would he ask you, how did you do today? Or how did you feel about what you did?
He would ask me, how did you do?
And is that feminine or masculine?
That's definitely masculine.
Okay. Do you understand he may have been raised to believe women will chase him if he drops them?
Yeah.
Are you willing to not chase him for at least 8 weeks? And then you can write him a high bye if you want. It's on this
podcast. Yes, I'm willing to
podcast.
Do that.
What?
I'm willing to do that, not to chase him for 8 weeks.
Well, the 8 weeks is what you wait before you give him the high bye letter.
Mm.
You do not chase him. Because if he's trying to get laid, then you're being set up to be lonely to give him free sex. But it won't be making love.
That's right.
Do you want to have him as a boyfriend?
I do, yes.
Then will you please act like a lady and a girlfriend?
Yes, I'm willing to do that.
Okay, so when was the last time you talked to him?
Well, the thing is that we've been talking pretty much every day other than the times where he would disappear for like a week. Because the thing with this guy is that
he would disappear in order to test you for chasing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's called ghosting.
Mm-hmm.
It may be duty dating. He may be experiencing other women.
Right.
So if you're serious about a man, the first thing you do is don't mother him with sex. You haven't met him yet, right?
No, I haven't.
So if he asks you, see, he asked you for a date and then didn't keep it, right?
Right.
He probably wanted you to be mad, call him up, tell him off, because then he knows you love him better than yourself.
That's a good point. I didn't know that.
Have you read Getting to I Do?
I actually just ordered your book yesterday and it came in today.
Okay, when you read it, you're going to read that I have no problem with women wanting to be respected, but they've got to accept men that are boys and want to be cherished. A man who wants respect and a woman who wants respect are fighters. They're going to fight with each other. A man who wants to be cherished and a woman who wants to be cherished are going to fight too. I need somebody to be masculine and somebody to be feminine, even if they're lesbian, even if they're gay. So you're calling me about a basic, scientifically grounded. Men pick with their eyes, women pick with their ears. Harvard did a study and they asked men, why did you marry? For sensual and sexual stability, 2/3 of the time. 1/3 of the time, they married for sex, for status and security. Her dad owns IBM, and I work for him, and that's a good deal for me. You see what I'm saying? Two-thirds of women mate and marry for stature, Mrs. So-and-so, and financial stability. One-third of women, especially over 50s, are cougars, and they want to be laid sensually and sexually.
Right.
So that's what I do. I teach people how to mate or marry from a position. People want to either get laid or paid. So which do you want?
I would want to be paid.
That's right. You want to be paid so that you can give him a sensuous sexual life.
Right.
You see? And he wants to get laid because he brings home some money.
Right.
When you read my book, you'll see I have left questions in there like this that help you get to know each other and yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to reading your book. I'm super excited.
Good. But you haven't made any mistakes. You haven't given him sex. You've been inadvertently virtuous because you haven't been together with him. But you sound...
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got chemistry for him. And if you give him free sex, I promise you, he will use you and whoever else is giving him free sex.
That's right. Yeah, that's why I'm not going to go for that until I know him for at least 3 months, I think.
Wait a minute.
I feel like.
You don't need to do that. You need to get a contract for monogamy, continuity, and long term. Do you want to get married or mated?
I want to get married at the right time.
If you want to get married, then you basically tell him that before you make love to him.
That's right.
So he says, yes, you're my girlfriend. You may not get engaged at that time, but within about 6 months, you better get engaged, and you could even live with him to get him to know him better. But don't live with him unless you're engaged to him so you can practice being married.
Right. I should say that I am 22. I'm not really actually looking to get married right now. And I'm just looking for a simple relationship for me personally.
You're looking for what?
A relationship, just like a simple relationship.
What does that mean? You want a lover?
I'm just looking to be boyfriend, girlfriends with someone, without the idea of getting married yet.
Do you want to be monogamous, continuous, aiming eventually in your life to marriage? Or do you want a friend with perks?
I want the first one.
Well, then don't let his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina until you're at least his monogamous, continuous girlfriend. Are you a virgin or not?
I am, yes. I am a virgin.
Okay. Do you want to make love or just have sex?
I want to make love.
Then would you please not let his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina, because it produces a chemistry called oxytocin, which is like super glue at the short hair site. You get so bonded to him that you can't leave him even if you don't like him.
That's right.
You'll read this in the book, Getting to I Do. Got it?
I got it.
So read the book and decide if you want to be virtuous or you don't. If you don't want to be virtuous, be prepared to be glued to a man that doesn't want you.
I definitely want to be virtuous.
Okay, and that simply means be sensual, be sexual, but not intercourse.
Okay. I got that.
What?
I got that.
Good. Okay. So let's get out there and date a couple of men to keep you happy.
Sounds good. Dr. Pat, I also have one more question.
What?
So I think I mentioned that he already asked me out. I think on the second or third week that we were texting.
And then he didn't
that we
show
were
up.
Talking.
He changed his
mind.
Yeah,
and then he didn't follow up.
Did he call it and cancel it, or did he abandon you?
He didn't, he just, I could just read what he said, but he just said that, I'll have to see what my next week is like, but I definitely want to meet you. And then we just kept on talking and he didn't bring it up again until now, which has been a month now. Since
I want you to understand that you knew you weren't going to have that date.
So he was just testing me?
Honey, did he let you know he wasn't going to keep that date that night? Did he ghost you? He set a date up and didn't show up?
Actually, we didn't. We didn't even set a date. He just said that he has to make sure what his next week is like, which he was aiming to take me out that week. But then we just kept on talking and he didn't bring it up again.
But wait a minute. He never made the date with you.
Yes, he never did.
Then he can't be punished for not dating you.
He can't or I can't?
What?
Sorry, I didn't get that. Did you say he can't or I can't get punished for not dating?
I want you to understand, he runs the show. You want to be cherished. If you want to be respected, find a nice little mama's boy and run his life. Got it?
I got it.
You were raised to be a boy. Okay.
And all do right. I give it 4 more weeks for him to, if we keep on talking,
honey,
do I just give it
honey,
four more weeks?
Honey, we want to go on to the next person, okay? Read
okay,
the
sounds
book.
Good.
Thank
you for sure. Thank you, Dr. Pat Allen.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, the call-in number 323-203-0815 to step inside of the hot seat and talk with Dr. Allen. I want to remind everyone to find Dr. Allen's latest book, you can go to wantistore.com. That book is It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. Dr. Allen would like everyone to read pages 1 through 23 right now. She thinks it's very poignant for how the world is going. And we agree. We definitely agree. So I believe Sam at the switchboard is getting us another call. Again, wantistore.com. And that's where you're going to find her book and all kinds of her products. So check that out. Okay.
Hi, you have reached Melissa Masinko, please.
Okay, callers, we want to talk to you, not your voicemail. So if you get a call from a weird number, it's probably us calling you back if you were in our queue. So I think Sam's going to get us another one. Until then, I want to remind everybody that you can go and you can watch or listen to the video. The download is at www.drpatallen.com. Chemistry compatibility video, and it's free.
Hello.
Right now. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat. I do have a question.
Hi.
Okay. I'm in a little bit of the same situation as the last woman, and because of Dr. Pat's advice to her, I'm already feeling much better because I did have it's now my 12th day of not having heard from a man who had disappeared after a very brief kind of half date. It wasn't really a real date because it was during the lockdown. It was very socially distanced. He had just brought me some ice cream. And then he had resurfaced a year and 6 months later. And then we had three dates. And then it's now been 12 days since I last heard from him. And I already know, Dr. Pat, you're going to say, I have 7 more weeks. That's fine. I know
yes,
that. But
you do.
But just everything you just told the previous woman was very helpful in terms of you saying that he's testing for, you know, will I chase, which, of course, he has to know, because when he disappeared for a year and 6 months, first of all, I totally had forgotten who he was by the time he came back. So
right.
It's interesting. So it's just fascinating he's testing again. I mean, I do think he's also passive aggressive. So I'm not really... it's kind of turning me off, I have to be honest. But we did have three dates, and then now it's day 12 of not hearing anything, and he lives less than a mile away. So
I fully understand that, and he knows you know, and so he's probably waiting for you to mother him and call him.
I know.
You see? And
even
you
for those
too
three
may
dates...
get to be his girlfriend for a year and then dropped.
Well, yeah, it's not sounding great, but anyway.
I want you to understand that men marry virtuous women. They use sexually free women.
Yeah.
Too many women give it away.
Well, we were affectionate during those three dates. We, however, did not have intercourse.
There's no problem with being affectionate.
Yeah.
As long as that penis does not go in your mouth, your anus, or your vagina, because that turns you into an oxytocin machine, which glues you to him. In fact, I heard on the radio or somewhere that they're giving oxytocin shots to little autistic babies in order to cause them to cuddle or love to be cuddled. So it's called the cuddle hormone.
Yeah.
So right now you're in your mail and you want your woman.
I don't. But yeah, I mean, that's how he would like it for sure. I just don't understand. What I'm not understanding is to like disappear, resurface, and then disappear again.
Honey,
you know,
because he found a woman and offered him free sex.
Probably,
beside
yeah.
you. You know, it's called a harem.
Yeah.
Diversification is many women. When men fall in love, it's almost life threatening. Do you know that the soul of a man is the anima, feminine, and it's hidden in his soul in a body that wants control, competing, and conquering whatever he wants to own? Do you see? Mm-hmm. So we women, when we let them into our bodies, we marry them physically.
Right.
And they maintain that control until you finally, 6 months or a year later, you leave because he hasn't, found him with another woman. It's really a sad event.
So when he resurfaces, I already know the answer to this. I'm basically just acting like he never disappeared.
You just treat him like, oh, hi. You treat
right.
him because do you understand that you are attracted chemically to him, but you're not bonded. You're starting to bond, but with just a few dates, it's not hard to break away.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm a little grateful to him because his passive-aggressive ways were, you know, created some discomfort for me occasionally because I had called you and told you that he would call, like he would call, well, he would text and then he would present and then he would clearly hope
you know
that
why
I would
did that?
make the next move. Yeah.
You know why he did that?
Yeah. Like he had a hard time
it
pulling the trigger
him,
of the dates we did
it
have.
It told him you loved him better than yourself. A woman who loves herself doesn't even react to him doing that unless she's given him free sex and now feels like a fool and she wants to punish him for her gift. But it's not his responsibility.
Well, I never expressed the discomfort to him. I did to you.
I understand
anyway.
That, but that's okay as long as you don't do it to him. When
no,
he calls back, if he does, act like just as if a girl has dropped out of your life for a while and come back.
Yeah.
You don't get mad at her.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to focus on him too much. There is another man who has invited
Good.
Me on...
Good. I want two other men.
Yeah, there's several others, so
oh,
we don't have a problem in this department. Okay.
Okay.
Well, however, I'm not sure what it is. It could be where I live. I'm not going to say the name, but honestly, the town where I live is ripe with these passive-aggressive men who probably are extremely spoiled by women. But anyway, so there's another one who has now invited me to two dates to his home. And what do you suggest when a man invites you to his home and the only way to get there is via a cab? And I've had three trips to and from his home.
What you said is,
yes,
it's not in my budget.
Okay, great. He finally paid. On the last date is when he asked me if the reason I was holding off on intercourse, he asked me this on his own, was because I wanted to get married. And I said, yes. And I noticed that after that conversation, he actually paid for my cab home.
Honey, do you know what he was doing? He was indicating he was falling in love. Do you understand?
I did feel that. I have to say I did feel that. Although it's now been same thing as for the other one. With him, it's now been 3 weeks, no word. But the second date with him had happened 7 weeks after the first, so he'll probably take another full 8 weeks to reach out again.
I've got news for you.
Yeah.
If you've got three men you're dating, you're entertained all that you want.
Yes, no, absolutely. I did just, you know, just these technicalities. I just did want to know, since I know his pattern is to invite me to his place and I have to take a cab there. And, you know, so I paid for the cab the first time. Okay, great. Okay, good. So that's
okay.
What I'll say next time. It's not in my budget. Good.
Good.
And I think that he'll then know, like he did the last time, to... Even though I didn't even ask, but the last time after he asked me, well, is it because you want to get married? And I said, yes. I have to say his tone really changed. And all of a sudden he was like, well, okay, I'll get you an Uber and then please call me when you get home. You know, which he hadn't done that
the
first
difference?
Time.
You
yeah.
Heard
oh, there was a total
feminine.
Difference. Yes.
I know that. I want to say something now. Right-handed men, was he right-handed?
I'll have to pay more attention next time.
Okay.
He's a very creative man, so I wouldn't be shocked if he was left-handed, but I'll pay closer attention next time. That's a great question.
Okay. Right-handed men have a smaller bridge called the corpus callosum between the right lobe, which feels, and the left lobe, which thinks. So when a man is just using you for sex, he's just using you. There's no love there. When a man is falling in love with you, he is connecting his right lobe and left lobe into loving you. And that's where they're committable.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell that from the fact that he offered to pay my cab after we had that conversation?
That's one of the steps. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, great.
They're generous, protective, and cherishing. And they don't want you to be with anybody else. Marriage is for women and kids. It's not for men. Men have to be responsible for the women and kids. You see, women give up a lot of independence to marry. Men take on a lot of responsibility, unless they're a wife to a woman who's a husband. I have no problem. If a woman wants a man for her wife, fine. And if a man wants his wife for a mother, fine. But you see, that can create problems.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Okay, well, yeah, thank you. It was great hearing you answer the previous caller. It was very heartening. It's always great to get your recalls. Okay, have a good night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you, caller. Okay. All right. I believe Sam is getting us another caller. And don't forget, everybody, pick up because we want to talk to you. 323-203-0815 is the call-in number to get to talk to Dr. Pat Allen live on the air. Remember, LA Talk Radio has us on, broadcasts us several nights a week on both channels, but only Thursday can you talk to us live. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Is this Lulu Chu?
Hello, caller. Fly? You're live.
Yeah, is this Lulu Chu?
This is Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications. Oh, okay. I think maybe we got a call mix up there, but that's okay. We're going to get another one right now. Sam at the switchboard is working on it for us. All right. Okay. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, caller. You are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat Allen. I just finished
Hello
your
there.
Book yesterday. Hi, I just finished your book, Getting to I Do, yesterday. And?
And? How do you feel?
Amazing,
how do you think about it? What?
I wish I had read it like 8 years ago. But,
I wished I had read it before I wrote it.
Exactly. I've been married for 7 years. My husband is a left-handed. He's left-handed. And
so he mixes. He is like every woman, every single woman, straight, gay, lesbian, is large corpus callosum, can mix their thoughts and feelings. That's what drives right-handed men cuckoo, because we don't sound logical enough, and they expect maybe their mother was masculine. But the truth of the matter is, left-handed men think like Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Jefferson. Left-handed.
Yes, so there's two women and two men in our relationship. Like,
absolutely.
I know you talk, like,
But there's one who wants to be respected, hopefully, and one who wants to be cherished, hopefully. You've got a waltz. You can't slam dance.
Right. That's the thing. Like, we're traditional in the sense that he's the breadwinner and I'm the homemaker. But I feel
Are
like
Are you in
I
a
have...
covenant relationship? Do you work at all?
No, I'm a homemaker. I'm a full-time homemaker, and he's
then
the breadwinner.
Then you have what is called covenant. A covenant relationship is legal in Louisiana. It used to be legal in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. And that's where people in those states where they signed contracts along with the wedding contract that said one of them would be the breadwinner and pay the bills while the other one would be the homemaker and take care of the house and the kids. Now there's only Louisiana does that, and I'm not even sure they're doing it today, but Louisiana's was still doing it last year. So you're in a covenant.
Okay. But the thing is that I feel like I'm the masculine and he's the feminine. Even though we have traditional gender roles in our relationship,
honey, I don't care how different you are if it works for you. If you negotiate time, I, we, and us, space, chores, money, mine, yours, and ours, and play, non-sexual and sexual, I don't care what you do as long as you both enjoy it.
I want to be the feminine. I don't want to be the masculine anymore.
Well, then get a divorce.
No, I don't want that either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any kids?
No, we don't.
Do you want kids?
Yes, we both want kids.
Okay. Then why haven't you adopted one or something?
We're waiting. We're waiting to have kids.
Okay, so you're waiting to get a child.
To have a child, like naturally. We've just been
waiting.
Oh,
you want to have it. I thought maybe one of you couldn't have a child.
No, we just haven't agreed when we're going to have one, but we both want children.
That's fine. And you're working with a doctor or an adoption agency?
No, we're not, because we're not planning on having children right now, but we do want to have children in the future.
Very good. That's very good. All right.
My question, I guess, is
what is your question?
We've been arguing a lot.
Why?
And about like little things.
Are you both male now?
I call it my own, and I'm trying to stop.
I'm going to give
you
this.
Do you have any advice?
Do you know that this is a podcast? And you can listen to it?
Yes.
I'm going to give you the tools for a woman. Do you want to be a woman in your marriage? No.
Yes.
You do want
I do.
It, but your husband is already doing it.
No, he wants to be the masculine.
Oh, good. That's what I needed to hear. Now I'm going to show you how to fight with him. Are you listening?
Okay. Yes.
There are 5 tools, and they're in the book. Have you read Getting to I Do?
I have.
Okay. Have you read It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe?
No, not yet.
Okay. At the end of that book, there's chapter on Inez one on we-ness, and one on us-ness. That's family. I'm going to give you on this podcast the five tools to fight with a man who wants respect. Your husband is more masculine than you know.
Yeah.
Tool number one, never, ever ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Always ask him what he thinks, what he wants, his opinion, his suggestions, his ideas, and what you can do to help you and he do it. Got that?
Okay. I think that I have trained him to tell me how he feels.
I know that, but now I'm going
to tell
me
how he feels. Okay. Yeah, I talked about our feelings a lot, and I feel that.
Darling,
he started.
Would you please treat him with respect?
Yeah, I want.
Now I'm going. Okay, I want to give you the second tool. The second tool is when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him. That's when you're being male.
Mm-hmm.
Got that? You must make an appointment for its convenience. Honey, I want to talk to you about this subject. Would it be convenient for you to listen? When? You must make an appointment for the subject and the convenience. Do you see the respect?
Yes.
The third tool is when he's irritating you. The first thing out of your mouth is, you have every right to say that, think that, do that, feel that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Do you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
So when he does something you don't like, but you don't have to call the police, you don't have to call a doctor, and you don't have to call a lawyer to start a divorce, you tell him he had a right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but you're uncomfortable with it. And would he consider not doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. And if he says, what?
Yes, I'm listening.
If he argues with you, ask him, what can I do to help you and I do what makes me comfortable? And see what he says. See, what you're doing is you're both male and competing now. He must have kept it a secret, not talking to you like a man before you married him. And or you acted like a woman. Which was it?
I acted like a woman and then I switched to...
Would you please switch it back or get a divorce?
Yeah, I think that, like in your book, you mentioned that if they have, 51% of what you want to make it work, or at least.
That's right. But what you did is you became a man without negotiating. If he broke his back and you had to go to work and be the man, believe me, you'd recognize it. You have changed your contract from cherishing to respect for you. And he is a man and wants respect for himself. So I've given you the first three tools. You have every right to do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Will you consider negotiating? The fourth tool. Do you know that 90% of communication is body language, tone of voice, gestures, rolled eyes, legs, kicking, twitching. Here's what you say to him. Honey, dear, I sense by the look on your face, from the tone of your voice, your body language, that you're upset about something. Am I right, yes or no? Yes. What can I do to help us do better? Do better.
Mm-hmm.
And the last tool is, have you ever gone to a game where they did timeout with the hands referee?
Yeah.
If you're afraid you're not going to speak like a lady, give him a timeout with your hands. He'll say, what is it?
Well, he doesn't that.
What?
Like I have, he doesn't like that. He's fearful, avoidant, I believe. And
okay.
He doesn't like the silent treatment.
Then what you're going to do is, you have every right to do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Are you willing to negotiate a change?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the tools for negotiating.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on this. Right. I'm just trying to not argue at all anymore. Just agree.
Would you? Well, you can I've given you the tools that share your feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, right.
I want you to go. Uh-huh. Go back to what you did before you married him. Men pray women won't change after the wedding. Women pray men will change. And then the whole thing falls apart. If you want a divorce, get a divorce and find somebody that's a bigger man than you are. But if you want to stay with him, you better act like a woman. Got it?
Okay, got it.
Good. Call back.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're Bye. Welcome. Bye.
Bye now.
Thank you, caller. Okay. So let me check in with the switchboard and see what we've got going on here. I'm not sure we've got any more calls, but I do have some Facebook questions. So, but let me check with Sam and see what's going on.
Good.
As usual, we are developing a theme like we seem to do each week, Dr. Pat. Okay.
What?
We're developing a theme. We always seem to develop a theme. So
yes. Every show is a theme.
I know. It just kind of develops that way. So Sam yes. says our switchboard is right now. And so we're going to reach out to some of our Facebook people. Here Good. Is a question. I've been married for 17 years to my husband. Recently, he's taken up the hobby of drinking. At first, it was just light drinking and tasting different liquors. But now he seems to get into his cups pretty deeply almost every night. And then falls asleep on the couch. We haven't had marital relations in almost 8 months. I'm feeling very neglected, but I'm not sure how to talk to him. I know you have methods. Can you explain to me how I can talk to him?
I've just given the tools on this date. So if this person, do you have the phone number? Do you have a way to reach out?
They're listening right now. They're live listening.
Okay, because today is the what? 16th something?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 16th of September.
I went over the tools on this podcast.
Yes, you did.
And I referred to the book, Man's World, A Woman's Universe, chapter on I-ness, we-ness, and us-ness. And I'm going to give her information on alcoholism, I would totally recommend that she go to Al-Anon meetings where they work with people that are married to people that have addiction beginning problems or middle or ending. It sounds like his body chemistry is becoming addicted to alcohol, and that is an addiction. But going to Al-Anon is where people can give you phone numbers, where they can help you with situations that Al-Anon people deal with, which is people they're married to have either been drinking or are starting to drink. And this is a place where you can learn that there are actually AA meetings for couples. Couples.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Together. Do you see?
Okay, terrific. Yeah.
Because what I hear is a major, major issue. And I'm willing, if they can get on the phone, to call them. And because I specialize, I'm a sex and alcohol addiction sponsor. So if they want, I'm willing to work with them on this phone.
Okay, she says he is not going to agree to that, but I'm listening and I will re-listen to this broadcast. Okay. And she's saying, what is the, do you have a number for the AA?
No. What city is she in?
San Antonio, Texas.
Okay. Call the General Services office in the major city. They will tell you the meetings. Okay. They'll tell you Al-Anon. They'll tell you AA for him, but he won't go. And they may even know the couples meetings.
Yeah, she's mentioning that this kind of began on his 56th birthday.
Yeah, guess what? That's andropause. That's him going. See, when a man uses mind-altering chemicals, he goes feminine.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman uses mind-altering chemicals, especially sugar, because women don't go for the alcohol as much as the sugar, but men go for the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yeah.
So there's lots of non-expensive help out there. Call any service, Alcoholic Service Center number, Alcoholics Anonymous, and they will give you numbers.
So this actually may be a result of the andropause, of him shifting. Maybe he doesn't know how to cope with it.
What is that you're saying here?
I was saying, is it possible that he doesn't know how to cope? So he's using alcohol as a crutch because he doesn't quite
understand
midlife.
But Al-Anon will help her and AA will help him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's what they do.
We have another question, and of course, it's one of the duty dating questions. So this young lady says, I've tried the duty dating three men three times each, and two of the men found out, and then they began calling me names because they said I was cheating because I was dating more than one man. How do you deal with that? I wasn't having intercourse with any of them. I was just going on dates.
You would tell them, I appreciate that you, all men, want women to be monogamous, but I can't be monogamous until I'm in a committed girlfriend-boyfriend relationship. So are you asking me to stop dating other men? If you are, yes, I will stop, or no, I won't, because I have chemistry not enough with you. So it's a matter of chemistry.
Right. And she said she's heard you say before how to end after the three dates when he asked you for the fourth, but you don't have the feelings. Could you just reiterate that one more time?
I would be glad to do that. I love answering these questions from people that have called in or written in, whatever. Here's what you say. You've heard Pat Allen and you've dated him three times and there's no chemistry. I mean, he's a friendly and you'd like to be friends with him, but when he tries to kiss, don't like it. So the first thing you say to him is when he says, I want to take you out again, this is the fourth date. I want you to give him three dates because women are sometimes slow in the chemical responding. Sometimes they have to get to know the man. So in that case, you say to him, I appreciate the dates we've had, but I don't have the chemistry that I need to be romantic with you. And I don't want to use you for a date money payer, or I don't want to use you by leading you on that I'm having chemistry. Without chemistry, I'd love to be your friend.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, that she's saying that's exactly what she wanted to be able to. To say something nice and not offensive, but also, you know, basically end it. So she's very excited about that. And she's saying, thank you so much. So Dr. Pat, we're kind of out of time. What have you got to say before we go?
The only way you can get over a negative feeling is by asking yourself, what is it I want that I don't have, or what is it I have that I don't want, and then follow that with action. Do something, whether you have to call a therapist or whether you have to stop eating sugar because you're gaining weight, whatever it is, that's what you do. You recognize women need to feel good to do good. Men that want to be respected need to do good to feel good. So for men that are not doing good, they are not going to feel good. And for women that don't feel good, they are not going to do good.
Exactly. All right, everyone, we're so glad you were here with us tonight. We invite you to listen to this podcast. Dr. Allen has some really great information about AA and how that can help for people that are having some issues. And I want to thank Patricia Elton.
Kelly?
Yeah.
I want you to remember the classes that I do for people.
Yes, I do want to mention that if you are interested in a script reading class, which can be very insightful, you can reach out to info@drpatallen.com. She also does high bi-letter critiques, and we have some groups, which are 3 and 5 lady groups. You can get on the wait list for that. It's pretty extensive. But best to get on it now. info@drpatallen.com is how you reach out to do that. Visit our website, whatistore.com and www.drpatallen.com. I want to thank Patricia Elton for being here tonight with us and having a great conversation with Dr. Allen about dreams and her book, The Dream Class. Again, she offers a dream reading.
Scripting.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We talked about the scripting class. So until next week, we love you all. We'll be back. Take care and bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.